This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
The question is, was Jeffrey Epstein protected from prosecution to protect Bill Clinton from prosecution? Yes, a lot of people are asking that question, or more importantly, to protect his wife's presidential run. Welcome to the show. Glad you are here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli. First of all, thank you for listening. We appreciate it very much. Truly do. Thank you. 855-839-1210. Yes, Vanity Fair, according to this piece that I have here, Vanity Fair knew, Trump knew Jeffrey Epstein had incriminating photos of Bill Clinton. It was back in 2005 at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, when Trump said a quote you might have heard. He was asked about Bill Clinton, say something. He said the following: "Nice guy, got a lot of problems coming up, in my opinion, with the famous island with Jeffrey Epstein, a lot of problems." That's what Trump said back in 2005. Trump knew what he was talking about. Vanity Fair reports that shortly before that CPAC comment, Trump was approached by David Pecker, who then owned the National Enquirer. Pecker visited Trump and brought along an issue with Prince Andrew and Epstein-related cover. It was a Prince Andrew and Epstein-related cover of the potential National Enquirer. They were joined by Trump's lawyer and now federal prisoner Michael Cohen. After the meeting, Trump called in Sam Nunberg, who then worked for him as an advisor. According to Nunberg, he said, quote, "Michael was sitting in there when I came in, and the issue of the National Enquirer with the pictures of Prince Andrew was on his desk. He said not to tell anyone, but that Pecker had just been there and had brought the issue with him." Trump said that Pecker had told him that there were pictures of Clinton that Epstein had from his island that were much worse. What makes the Vanity Fair report double fascinating, according to PJ Media, is that the magazine, which is definitely on the left, clearly implies that Epstein doesn't have any dirt on Trump himself, is what the Vanity Fair article says. On Twitter, users have been tweeting hopefully about how this could ruin Trump's presidency. Vanity Fair knows better. When push comes to shove, this case will involve high-ranking and extremely influential Democrats. Quote from the story: Trump isn't known to have gone on trips with Epstein, which would have been out of character. I don't think Trump would go to someone else's property or someone else's island or villa, Sam Nunberg said. He doesn't even play golf at anyone else's clubs. And of course, he dismissed speaking out on Tuesday that he said he was a fixture and I had a falling out with him years ago, and I don't think I've talked to him in 15 years or so. So some people have questioned if it's true at the Vanity Fair story saying that there were these pictures and Bill Clinton on the island with Epstein. When all this happened with Acosta, the U.S. attorney at the time, now labor secretary, and this deal that was fixed, was this done to protect Hillary Clinton's presidential ambitions because she was going to run for president? She was running for president that year. Don't forget, 2008, when this happened, when all this was coming about. Was it done for that? Now, I don't know, and obviously I don't want to speculate, but I do know this. The Palm Beach County Democrats, huge Democrats, and Florida Democrats were very much behind Hillary Clinton back then. And the other thing about it, too, which is fascinating, is that Palm Beach wanted, they were not going to prosecute. They were not going to do anything here about this. Which is why yesterday Acosta came out and said he had to do something or nothing would have happened. Now, in response to that, a former Florida state attorney who was in office during Jeffrey Epstein's plea deal with the state of Florida slammed Alex Acosta and said that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He said what he said was not true. He said the district attorney of Palm Beach County recommended a single charge, and what Acosta said was that there was going to be no jail time. But the attorney countered, says that Acosta's office had drafted an indictment that carried a life sentence if Epstein was convicted. But the indictment was never filed, which led Epstein copping to two state prostitution charges. Responding to what Acosta said yesterday, they said the state abandoned after secret negotiations between Mr. Epstein's lawyers and Mr. Acosta. He said if Mr. Acosta was truly concerned with the state's case and felt he had to rescue the matter, he would have moved forward with the 53-page indictment that his own office drafted. which would have put Epstein in prison for the rest of his life. This according to a story from the New York Post. The Palm Beach County attorney responds. Ex-Palm Beach attorney blasts Alex Acosta over Epstein criticism. This is what Acosta said yesterday at the White House. He was encouraged to come out and speak on this. I don't know how this guy survives this. I don't think he should either, by the way. Go ahead.
This matter started as a state matter. It was prosecuted initially by the state of Florida and not by the U.S. Attorney's Office. In 2006, a grand jury convened by the state attorney, the district attorney of Palm Beach County, reviewed the evidence and recommended a single charge. And that charge would have resulted in no jail time at all, no registration as a sexual offender, and no restitution to the victim. Further, the state attorney's office allowed Epstein to self-surrender and arraigned him the following morning. Simply put, the Palm Beach State Attorney's Office was ready to let Epstein walk free, no jail time, nothing. Prosecutors in my former office found this to be completely unacceptable, and they became involved. Our office became involved. Our prosecutors, as this 2008 article recounts, presented the ultimatum: plead guilty to more serious charges, charges that require jail time, registration, and restitution, or we'd roll the dice and bring a federal indictment. Without the work of our prosecutors, Epstein would have gotten away with just that state charge.
Well, the state guy disputes that and says that they should have went with the 53-page federal indictment that was issued against him at the time. The whole thing stinks. Ann Coulter, who's still dead to dawn, but she wrote a piece that somebody sent me. Get Acosta, but get the right guy, too. And it's very, very good. Fine to go after Acosta. But also, you got to go after the Palm Beach people back then because of all the cover-ups that were done. Not just with the guy, this Kircher, but other people on his team. She says, there's 3 points here. The case against Epstein is no stronger today than it was in 2006. Yeah, when the story broke, there was virtually zero national coverage, according to Nexus, throughout all of 2006. Only a few news outlets outside of Palm Beach even mentioned it. O'Reilly Factor, New York Post, Florida Papers, followed months later by a page 19 story in the New York Times. Instead of getting on their high horses about Acosta, maybe the media should look at it themselves. Two, the deal that Acosta's office struck with Epstein required him to plead guilty to state crimes, no federal offenses at all. Why? Because sex with underage girls is a state crime, but the state attorney general refused to prosecute. Acosta came in like Elliot Ness trying to get Al Capone in a tax charge, then he blew it. Fine, I agree. But how on earth has Kircher, who was the state attorney, Palm Beach, emerged smelling like a rose? He's the one who engineered the main cover-up. According to the police chief, Kircher seemed to be protecting Epstein. Are Epstein's powerful friends rewarding him with a cloak of invisibility? And three, she says, without Acosta stepping in to at least try to clean up after Kircher, Epstein never would have served a single day in jail. Inasmuch as Epstein pleaded to state crimes, the ridiculously lenient terms of his confinement, endlessly cited in the press, were the purview of local authorities and completely out of his hands. So he never would have had to register as a sex offender. He never would have been required to pay a cent in restitution. Yet, she points out, and it's a good point, that only Acosta, Alex Acosta, the U.S. attorney at the time, now Trump's labor secretary, is treated as the guy who blew this. Why is he the only guy who blew this case? Why? And what about Kircher? Well, I think it's very obvious why. Because Acosta works for Trump, right? And Kircher is still a member of good standing of the Florida Bar. Last December, he was honored by the Anti-Defamation League for making an outstanding contribution to the legal profession and to the community at large, while exemplifying the principles upon which the Anti-Defamation League was founded. So here we go now. The guy who was there locally, who blew it, the guy who federally blew it, all you hear about is the guy who federally blew it because he is the labor secretary to the president. And that's all you hear about. Now, Kircher comes out in the New York Times and the New York Post and says, not true. He says, they had a 53-page federal indictment, which is why we were going to stand down, because they were going to go get him, bringing women over state lines and that sort of thing. He said, Acosta is trying to rewrite history. I don't know who's to be believed in this. I think they both stink to high heaven. But it is amazing, though, how all the ire is only going after Acosta. And that's because of the Trump connection, obviously, right? Because he works for the president. Secondly, the fact that this was never reported back then, that it was never covered in the media. Maybe if the media had focused on this back then, they would have pursued more charges against them. It seemed like outside of Palm Beach County and local press and Bill O'Reilly, it was covered up. I mean, nobody talked about it. Nobody did. That's insane when you're talking about little kids and being passed along and child prostitution rings and whatnot. Insane that that would not have more coverage, right? Acosta defended himself. They confronted him over the Epstein plea deal. Cut two.
Tom Yamas, ABC News. Secretary, a lot of people are watching this news conference, including several young women who say they were teenagers when Jeffrey Epstein sexually assaulted them. They say they went to you looking for help, and they didn't hear back from you until it was too late. Do you owe them an apology?
So you're raising the issue of victim notification. And in the documents that I've circulated, I've addressed the issue of victim notification as well. The career prosecutor in this case had a difficult decision to make. And she didn't make it alone. She made it in consultation with the FBI. And she made it in consultation with the office. The agreement that had been negotiated had an unusual provision. Even though this was a state case, the victims would have the opportunity to receive restitution. Epstein would be required to pay for them to hire a lawyer to bring a case against him, a case in which he would have to plead no contest, and provide them with restitution.
Now, he doesn't sound very empathetic, and that's part of the problem of why he's not going to survive, because he sounds like a typical lawyer explaining things. If they find that there was a 53-page indictment filed by the Miami U.S. attorney and that never went forward, that's a real problem. I think everybody can agree that's a real problem. I don't know a lot of people out there defending Acosta. I don't think there's a lot of people doing so. Apparently now the new thinking is that if you are not questioning him, you are trying to also cover up for Epstein or something stupid like that, which is, I think, something stupid Whoopi Goldberg made, a comment on The View, which is ridiculous. Most of us have been going and wondering why this deal happened in 2006, why this happened back then, why... With the links to Clinton, was there a connection there? Was this done to protect Hillary Clinton? Who knows? I don't know. There's a lot of questions there. We've been asking questions. We've been asking a lot of questions. But I'd like to know why it is that if, you know, we don't just come out as a 2008 plea bargain right around a presidential election year. Hillary Clinton's running for president. Bill Clinton, there might be photos of him with Epstein. You can connect the dots there and see all this together. Whether it was the state who covered it up or some friendly people in the feds who covered it up. Either way, they all screwed up. They all should be in trouble for this. Acosta, Kushner, all of them, in my opinion. And that's Ann Coulter's opinion, too. I agree. But right now, they're only going after one person. And then of course, the idiots on The View, like Joy Behar, say something stupid like this. Or Goldberg.
You know who I'm waiting to hear from? All those folks that are out there that talk about they want to take care of young people and make sure young people are good. I just, why isn't the evangelical community coming for? Where is everybody? That was worrying me.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, one of the ways that you show that you care about people is you come out and you condemn this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, and all the folks that I'm used to hearing talk about, you know, this one is bad or this is bad or this haven't said much. And I just was wondering where they were. Where are you?
They seem to be worried about the culture changing. I mean, that's their issue. It's like now we have gay marriage.
I don't think evangelicals are okay with pedophilia.
Have they said anything? I haven't heard from Jerry Falwell Jr.
I mean, again, I think the evangelical population in this country is massive. I mean, I think it's, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know it's huge. So the idea that, you know, we're going to blame evangelicals
Wait,
I want to be very clear. I'm not blaming anybody, but I
for
do know.
For not speaking out enough?
Well, I feel like we have heard from the community and the voices of the community. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit about a lot of different things. How I want to deal with my body, how you want to see your kid.
Stop it for a second here. Two points. I mentioned the other day that my buddy Anthony Mongo in Delran and Mongo's Tires, they don't put the view on there. So somebody sent me a message and said they were at a mechanic and the view was on and they wanted to take a wrench and beat their head over. I purposely raised that point yesterday and I said, you promised me the view's never going to be on this television?
Yeah.
I said, promise.
Promise.
Nikki said, I promise you. I give you my word. Never be on the TV. I promise. Can you explain to me how Whoopi Goldberg is taking a guy who was a major Democrat donor and buddies with Bill Clinton, who was engaged in underage sex trafficking, and tying this to the evangelical community? Does anyone understand this connection she's making? Remember in school you would do logic games and you'd go, that doesn't logically follow. I don't understand what the hell you're talking about. You can't say, I'm going to use a ladder to get across the ocean. They go, no, logically that doesn't work. It doesn't match it. She's taking a guy who was a massive, major Democrat donor, Florida Democrat politicians who may have covered up for the guy, the feds dropping the ball, and this 2008 plea agreement. Bill Clinton's all over the place on this, along with other prominent people. And somehow, Jerry Falwell Jr. is being brought up? What the hell is she talking about? It's the old, when did you stop beating your wife? Right?
Exactly.
What do evangelicals have to do with any of this? I'm sorry, but last time I checked, Jeffrey Epstein is not an evangelical.
No, far from it.
Far from it, by the way. This is not an evangelical sex cult we're talking about here. What the hell are they talking about? But this is the trick now. This is to confuse all the idiots who are sitting at, I don't know, wherever they sit and get their cars done that's not Mongo's, or dentist offices. By the way, I told you, my buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, he will not play The View at his dentist office, Cinnaminson. He will not. They sit there and they watch this crap and then they walk out and go, and they're confused. And I think that's part of it. It's just confuse people. Confuse them with stupidity. And you know, people can say, why do you play these clips? So you can understand what they're trying to do. That's why. So you can see how they operate here. Am I wrong in my interpretation of this?
No. It's crazy. It's illogical.
Are there evangelicals defending Jeffrey Epstein
no,
that I missed?
Of course not.
It's no.
I have been saying Alex Acosta is not going to survive. I've been saying the guy screwed up. I'm not an evangelical. I'm a Catholic, but still, who's been defending anybody in this mess at all?
No one.
Trump said, I feel bad for Acosta, but he hasn't exactly come out there and done a stunning defense of him. Nor should he, by the way. I don't think. And granted, I wasn't there at the time, but it certainly seems as if everybody involved really screwed up here.
Yep.
Feds, state, everybody. And I would like to get to the bottom of why. And if that 53-page federal indictment was never filed in federal court and Acosta had anything to do with it, we got to know. Absolutely.
Yes.
But what does Jerry Falwell Jr. have to do with any of this?
Are you saying that she's calling the evangelicals deplorables?
Kind of like that, right? It's just so random to bring them into this somehow. And I don't get it. I guarantee you this. Not many evangelicals were invited to F Island.
No.
With Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton. or rode on F Force One. Right?
Right.
I doubt Jerry Falwell Jr. was there. If he was there, then let's involve the evangelical community and their outrage. Until then, I'm sorry here, but I got a better redirect for Whoopi. Where are Democrats outraged that Bill Clinton was so close to this guy? Where's that outrage? Where's outrage from Democrats coming out and going, can we just talk for a second here about how a former United States president was so close to this guy and all of this was happening and he apparently didn't know any of this was going on? Instead of going after the evangelicals who were going, what the hell did I have to do with it? I had nothing to do with it.
Let's put the evangelicals.
Tie them into it just to confuse people. Is that done with that nonsense or
no,
is that done?
You want me to back it up a little bit?
Yeah.
All right.
They said anything? I haven't heard from Jerry Falwell Jr.
I mean, again, I think Jerry the Falwell evangelical Jr. population in this country is massive. I mean, I think it's, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know it's huge. So the idea that, you know, we're going to blame evangelicals
I want to be very clear. I'm not blaming anybody, but
speaking out enough?
Well, I feel like we have heard from the community and the voices of the community. Mm-hmm. quite a bit about a lot of different things. How I want to deal with my body, how you want to see your kid, whether children should be where. And I have been waiting for them to say, and by the way, this isn't okay with us either.
They don't need to. Nobody thinks it's okay. They don't need to. Nobody thinks sex with underage girls and putting them, having a sex cult with kids is okay. Nobody thinks that except Epstein's friends and the people that covered up for him, which last time I checked were not evangelicals. So they don't need to come out and say it. Do I need to come out every day and go, listen, here's today, axe murder, yes. Bad.
Yep.
Why have you not condemned axe murder, Dawn? Why are you so pro axe murder?
I think it's 6:50 a.m. every day. I need you to say.
I got to condemn a new thing.
You have to condemn a new thing.
All right, here's 6:50. Arson. Why? Terrible.
Yes.
Terrible. Drinking bleach. Bad.
Awful.
Bad move.
Just condemn something every day. I think it's a great idea.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Honestly. Why have they not condemned it? Because it's a given. It's a given that it's condemned. Why don't they condemn virgin sacrifices? Given. Understood. Condemned. Universally condemned.
Do you condemn Whoopi talking about, what did she say, what she does with her body?
You know what? Nobody wants to know what you do with your body. Nobody. I'm condemning that. You talking about your body. Nobody wants to know and nobody cares about your body and what you do with your body. Nobody.
Can we condemn Whoopi and Joy?
Yeah. Can we condemn that stupid show?
Yeah.
Who's the reasonable woman on there who goes, well, there's billions of evangelicals. That's Meghan McCain?
Yeah.
In that moment, she's reasonable. I had no idea because she's also kooky most of the time.
Yeah.
That show has really gotten to her, boy.
Well, yesterday when we played the clip of them talking about the women's soccer team, they all were like, yes, sexist,
right.
They're not paid more. So,
right.
I mean, they're reasonable one day, you know, or one of them is at least.
So, Christians, if you don't come out today and condemn underage sex cults that are ignored by the government and prosecutors, you're silently endorsing it, I guess? Is that the... I don't even know.
Goofy.
It's so goofy. All right, so let me say on behalf of all faith people in the country, we all universally say it's bad to have kids in underage, overstate, or interstate sex rings prostitution. All right?
Is it on?
It's official now. Yep. It's official.
It's official.
So, on behalf of all of my fellow people who
believe
Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We now have said that. It's out there.
7:54 a.m.
7:55-ish a.m. There we go.
You condemned it. Thank you, Rich. Right. You've met your quota for the day.
Very good. Okay. Let's see now. You see, my job is so difficult, Dawn. I got to put up with this crap. It's even really harder for Greg, who's got to listen to these audio clips before I even have to hear them.
It's one of the worst parts of this job, honestly.
Right?
Yes, it is.
You know, Chris Christie was, it's interesting, somebody, Paul, asked me about Chris Christie. He was offered the position of labor secretary, you know, and he turned it down.
That's right.
Had he taken it, because I'll tell you one thing about Chris Christie, and I call it like I see it. His gas tax, and I told him on stage, was stupid, and this is now, today, our gas tax went up, but New Jersey's roads still stink, right? But the one thing I will tell you about Chris Christie is that if he had a 53-page federal indictment on somebody with underage child sex rings, you're damn sure as U.S. attorney that would have been filed.
Epstein would have been in double shackles.
No doubt. No doubt. Even more than Charles Kushner,
yes,
who was not engaged in underage.
The white collar.
Right. He was just given money, the campaign checks. But that guy got, think about the raw deal. Compare the two.
Yes.
How Epstein versus Charles Kushner. Kushner, who didn't, by the way, hurt anyone or any kids or nothing sexual, nothing. Just about campaign donations and bribes, apparently. That's it. Shackles and chains, marched down in front of the camera, sent to prison in Alabama, no work release. And then there's Epstein. Kids, sex rings, over state lines, in and out, over there, and gets to go home and do his work from home. Doesn't have to check in either. There's a story today that the NYPD let convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein skip judge-ordered check-ins. This is in the New York Post saying that today. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what they're reporting today. So he had his he has a $77 million Upper East Side townhouse. He was required to check in since he's registered as a sex offender in New York over the 2008 plea bargain. But according to several current and high-ranking former NYPD officials, they were shocked to learn that the department had given Epstein a pass on the periodic check-ins, with one saying it makes no sense. The NYPD can't modify a court order. If the judge says he has to report there, he has to report there. Another source says Epstein was supposed to go to NYPD's sex offender monitoring unit at 100 Center Street, but he didn't go. If he didn't, then that's a violation and they could have arrested him. The NYPD maintains that he wasn't required to check in because he claims his primary residence is a private island, Little St. John, in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Hey, pedophiles, just claim you've got a private island and you have to do your check-in.
Oh my God. It's awful.
Now, I may be wrong here. I believe New York City is run by Democrats. Am I right on that point?
Last time I checked.
You're correct.
All right. This whole thing stinks, Dawn. Stinks to high heaven.
It does.
To high heaven, Dawn. But apparently the only bad guy in this is Alex Acosta. He's the only one who screwed up.
And evangelicals.
And evangelicals, yes, right.
It's all their fault.
Right, yeah. And have the Quakers come out today and condemn this? I haven't heard. If the Friends have condemned this or not.
The Quakers. It's a big Quaker population.
I'm curious. You know, Sharon's in Westville, New Jersey. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say I've been a follower ever since you come on the air back years ago when you adopted your children.
Oh, thank you for that.
I just wanted to say it wouldn't matter what the evangelicals say. If they started quoting the Bible, they would just throw it out anyways and say that doesn't apply to us.
The ladies on The View would say that, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, true. They would say, look at them clutching their Bibles and reading from it. They'd say something stupid like that.
Correct.
Sharon, do you condemn baby seal clubbing?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm on the fence.
You're on the fence?
I'm going to think about it long and hard.
But I wouldn't condemn clubbing a mosquito.
No, right? Thank you. I would use a bazooka on a mosquito if I could. Sharon, thanks for being part of the show all these years. We definitely appreciate it, my dear. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a good day.
You too. 855-839-1210. Here's my question. Do you condemn kicking puppies?
Yes.
Why have you not said so, Dawn?
I should have said that.
Your silence speaks volumes, Dawn. You got to comment on everything else. Bill, you're the resident sports guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me ask you this in your zeal. Why have you not condemned hockey players taking their clubs into the stands and randomly beating fans of the opposing team?
Oh, I thought the partition glass just spoke for it.
Damn it! All right, we'll get there someday. 855-839-1210. All right. We know now the Amish have condemned Jeffrey Epstein, I believe.
Oh.
I'm informed. Yes, still
have
cranky, says a carrier pigeon has arrived. The Amish... Dawn, have condemned Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. Good.
Well, yeah. Thank God the Amish community has spoken out finally.
Rich, how about the Italians?
Scusi, eh? Not a good. This guy's a better man. Better man. We don't want him on our island, eh? They've condemned it. So why have the, somebody has the yes, has the Islamic community condemned him? I got to know. We got to know. That's the question that the Muslim community, have they condemned him? Maybe Whoopi will ask that today.
No, I don't.
Maybe the Whooper will bring that up today.
The Whooper?
Is that the Whooper we thought of
Whooper.
That? I mean, why not, right?
I like it. Jeez. Judge Whooper.
Judge Whooper.
Justice. Or whatever.
Justice Ray Bayer. Judge Whooper.
There. That's good.
You like that?
Yeah.
You know why I said something before about how recycling's a giant scam?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you about that. But it's 8:01. Why don't we say good morning to you? Not that we haven't already, but... Just check in with some news.
Yeah,
how are you
good
doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. It's Dawn with the news. We've got 8:01, 73 degrees. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are under a flash flood watch, so a lot of people bracing for those severe storms expected to hit us today after 2 p.m. That's when the flash flood watch begins. Lockheed Martin will stay open. This saves about 500 jobs in Pennsylvania after President Trump intervened. This is CEO Marilyn Hewson. She's saying that the company will keep manufacturing jobs in the manufacturing plant in Coatesville, Chester County, through 2020, at least following a talk with President Trump. So they had a discussion. It will stay open. Those plant workers celebrating today. And this is the Sikorsky plant. So they build those choppers.
Marine One.
Yes.
And about 450 jobs saved.
Yeah.
Dawn, have we heard from Bob Casey Jr. on this?
Did we get a memo or something? I'm not sure.
The lesser Casey, who took the time to put out a statement, meaning his staff put out a statement because his whereabouts are unknown.
Yeah.
And in his statement, he took credit for this based on a letter he sent. So I don't know if Bob Casey Jr. is alive. I don't know if he's if he's frozen somewhere under ice. But the lesser Casey, Bob Casey Jr., did issue a statement, Dawn.
Well, that was good.
He didn't actually go there, but he did at one time send a strongly worded letter.
Letter.
And by that, I mean his staff sent a letter because his staff has no idea where the hell he is. Bob Casey Jr. will return the next time there's a Senate election. So every 6 years, he sees his shadow and runs again.
Like the groundhog.
Like the groundhog. The other times, he's just asleep. Senator, do you want to approve this letter? No, just sign my name and wipe the drool off my face. Stop. Sorry.
We have great
news.
Yeah,
I like my Yankee bean.
We have great news for Berks County, Pennsylvania native Taylor Swift. She is number one on the Forbes celebrity list. Making $185 million in the past year, her biggest earnings total yet.
Wow. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
She's from Berks, you said?
She grew up on a Christmas tree farm in Berks County, Pennsylvania.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
We've seen her in Pennsylvania more than we've seen Bob Casey Jr. True story.
Now, I wanted to get back to your honeybee story because I looked this up. Actually, New Jersey and Pennsylvania are promoting quality Russian queens to save honeybees, and many states are doing this. So New Jersey and Pennsylvania require every beekeeper to register. It's free in New Jersey. In Pennsylvania, it's about $5 a year. This registration allows them to track the data, and many states are doing this. So the states are watching and regulating the honeybee population.
Well, that's good. I do like the honeybees, and I like, especially now, I'm going to give you a good recommendation. So there's something called Mike's Hot Honey. Mm. And it's honey infused with chilies.
Ooh.
You put that in tequila, and you've got yourself a summer cocktail like no other. It's my new thing now.
Nice.
You put a little lemon juice, a little lime juice, excuse me, a little club soda, a little Mike's Hot Honey, and you shake it up with tequila or mezcal. Boom.
Wow.
And without the bees, I wouldn't have my spicy margaritas. See? So there you go. Good stuff. Mike's Hot Honey. It's from Brooklyn, believe it or not.
Can you bring in some on Friday? So
sure.
We can, you know, do a little taste test on air.
Oh, now that you're a corporate show, you're still going to allow us to drink on the air? It's amazing.
If it's good content, it's good content, right?
How many people at Entercom now do you have to go and check now? Your fellow corporate lords. Do you guys have a secret room that you hang out in? Like
we
a cloak room?
We do.
All right. It's good.
We were all there
nice.
Yesterday.
They were all there yesterday, Dawn. Were you invited? I wasn't invited.
No.
Department head meeting, Dawn.
Oh.
Department head meeting. Yeah.
So weird.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
A secret hidden location. Was there lunch there?
There was, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How nice that is. Management gets fed.
Yeah.
Did you get lunch, Dawn? I didn't get lunch, Dawn. Did you get lunch? Bill, did you get lunch? I didn't get lunch. Did
no.
you?
No.
No. I had to make my lunch.
Yeah.
All I had was honey to eat. I had a honey sandwich.
Honey sandwich.
A bee honey sandwich.
By the way, when you research this about the honey, the problem is that there's an Asian mite. It's like a blood sucking tick, kind of a mite. And that's what's killing the bees.
Not Trump?
No. And so the Russian queens, I'm not making this up, the Russian bees are immune to this mite. That's
honey
why they're
bees.
So that's why they're bringing the Russian queens to America.
So the Russians, again, it's
yes,
collusion.
It's the Russians.
The Russians are colluding to kill our honeybees. Why didn't Mueller find this out? Could have found some collusion, finally.
Why isn't Whoopi speaking about out?
Where's the whooper when we need her?
Hey, there's a group making news called the 1 Million Moms, and they're actually calling for a boycott of Pixar's latest Toy Story 4.
Why? Because it's the worst one in the series?
No, they're saying that it's a nod, a subtle nod to the LGBTQ community.
I saw this movie. Did you see it?
I didn't see it yet.
I saw it. I took Patrick to see it. I don't know what they're talking about. I did not see this subtle reference of two moms. And I did not see that subtle reference in there. Did you?
No. So I don't. Everybody I'm talking to says they're apparently there are two moms dropping off a child, and you see them.
How do you know they're moms and just not two friends?
Right.
Do they make out? Do
right.
the toys make out or
sisters
something?
Sisters or a godmother? Yeah,
you don't. Yeah, I got news for you. Anything. A lot of moms go together to pick up their kids.
Yeah, so, but they're calling this, the group Million Moms is calling this dangerous, and they're warning parents may be blindsided by the subtle but obvious promotion of the LGBTQ lifestyle.
Bill, you saw this movie, right? Listen, I am the first one who calls out propaganda. You know this. I am uniquely sensitive to propaganda in books and movies because I see it all the time. And yes. I saw this movie and I did not notice this. What are they talking about?
So I actually looked this up after I saw this story as well. And they're referring to when, as Don said, it's two moms hugging their daughter.
When you say moms, who are the moms? Two women. Two women, okay.
And they're simultaneously hugging a child.
Okay.
Implying that they're a same-sex couple with an adopted daughter or something along that nature.
And that's a big reach.
That's actually, there's two subtle hints in that movie, in that same scene. There's that, and then there's another daughter, another child with a cochlear implant, if you look really carefully.
A what?
The cochlear implant.
Oh, a hearing aid.
The hearing aid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah. Look.
Disney does this.
I know. I guess they do. They do their. But no, you see, Disney is over the top with their nonsense. They would have a gay teddy bear in Toy Story marry a horse, a toy rocking horse. Disney doesn't do subtle with their propaganda. They go all in. They go all freaking in. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, I see it could be two moms. It could just be two women going to drop a kid together. I see stay-at-home moms do this all the time. They go pick up the kids together.
Sure.
I don't know.
They need to lighten up. This is why we need wine in all movie theaters.
I agree with you,
Dawn. Wine for
moms.
Just
by the way, here's a better issue to take with Toy Story 4. It's not good. It's not a good movie.
That's a shame.
I thought it was boring as hell. What did you think, Bill?
I enjoyed it, but it's the worst of the four.
Absolutely, right?
But like a good Disney movie is still like an 88 out of 100 for me, which is a solid rating.
Yeah. And what I liked about this too, they didn't make, you know how all the movies are woke and every woman has to be the hero in the
right.
movie? They still made this about Woody, which I liked.
Which is good.
Which is good.
We love Woody.
Yeah. Like the end of Avengers, Avengers Endgame, I can't say, but.
It is July 11th, 7-Eleven, free Slurpee Day at all 7-Eleven stores, get it? 7-Eleven.
Oh, right.
July
11th. Yes.
So on this day in history, July 11th, 1944, Franklin Roosevelt announces he will run for a fourth term as President of the United States of America.
There you go.
1960, To Kill a Mockingbird. Harper Lee, first published by J.B. Lippincott and Company. That's 1960.
Now, what's that book about?
It's a wonderful
I've never
book.
Read it. What's that book about? Not familiar with that one.
It's an amazing book.
Oh, I know. A black man who's falsely accused of raping a white woman.
Yes.
Right. Just pointing that out.
Eyewitness.
Great movie, by the way, with Gregory Peck.
Yes.
But you know, she made up the rape claim against the guy, right? In the book?
Yes.
To Kill a Mockingbird. He didn't actually rape her.
All that. You know what? You bring up
I'm just pointing that out. There was a fake claim. It was a hashtag me too. I'm just pointing it out. I'm just saying.
Eyewitness weather.
They haven't banned that book yet?
No.
I'm surprised. I'm really surprised they haven't banned that book yet because she made up the rape claim and that this is count. It was a man writing it or Harper Lee's a woman, but still.
Sexism
or something, right? Anyway.
Good point.
Yeah.
So today it's going to be 88 degrees. It's a gorgeous morning, isn't it? But by 2 p.m., nasty weather is moving in. Oppressive humidity, afternoon showers, thunderstorms that could produce flooding downpours. So a flood watch in effect 2 p.m. through late tonight. I'm Dawn with the news, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and always on the radio.com app.
Look at you. Look at you.
Yes.
Nice job, Greg Stocker.
You asked
well
to get
done.
Things done. I get them done.
You got
for
it
you.
Done. Tomorrow, remind me, I'm going to read The Rainbow Fish. That's propaganda. You want propaganda? That book.
This book that your mom bought.
Mama Zioli bought my kids socialist, communist propaganda. She didn't know, but I'm going to read it as Megaphone Bernie tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do on Friday. Spike's away, finally. God, longest week of my life.
The new boss.
Your program director, Spike. Poor guy's only been on the job 3 days. I'm already attacking him on the air.
Day three, you attacked him on the air. Day three. Yeah.
I gave him a 48-hour honeymoon. All right? Edward's in the Northeast. Edward, how are you, sir?
Good, good, good. Hey, Rich?
Yeah.
Rich, I want to know, has anybody asked the Palestinians about this? There could be a hindrance to peace in the Middle East.
Well, yes, the Palestinians should condemn Jeffrey Epstein. And I don't think there should be any Middle East peace deal until they do.
Absolutely. I mean, you know.
Where are the Buddhists? I have not heard a word from the Buddhists. Have you?
No.
Hey,
how about the
stop the meditation and condemn Jeffrey Epstein.
How about the Christian Scientists?
Great. Or what about the who are the crazy people in Florida? What are they?
Scientologists.
Scientologists. Yeah. Where's Tom Cruise jumping on a couch condemning Jeffrey Epstein? All right,
absolutely.
Edward, we beat this joke to death. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it very much. You have a great day. I mentioned to you that everything is climate change. Everything's blamed on climate change now. The bees, the poor bees, climate change, everything. Today in the Inquirer, shore flooding linked to climate change. The trend persists. Frank Coomer, and it's not good for New Jersey. Coastal towns continue to see increased high tide flooding, inundating streets and basements. Did this not happen 20 years ago? Did we not have high tides going into people's homes 20 years ago? I'm sure we did. That's why people had to have, especially at shore homes, their basements. Or,
yes.
Nobody even has basements because of that, right?
In the 1960s, on Long Beach Island, where my family has gone for years, the ocean met the bay in the 1960s.
In the 1960s.
So I'm, you know, it has happened for a long time.
They were literally, the barrier islands off the Jersey coast were created by storms. That's how they were created. That's literally how they were created. They weren't built like that island in Dubai. They were made by storms. So those storms were pretty bad to create islands, don't you think?
Yes.
Some pretty bad storms to literally create a freaking island. Why was that not blamed on fossil fuel? Oh, right, because they didn't have it. Literally created barrier islands.
Oh, God.
But now the same old high tide that we as kids used to just call high tide is now climate change. See, they got to advance everything, Dawn, because they're tired of waiting for all the doom and gloom that's not happening. So they got to go, well, everything, climate change, puddles. Recycling is a scam. I got this in the mail from Burlington County, where I live. This is amazing. They have do not recycle. These are the following things you can't recycle. Ready? This thing reads like some sort of a manifesto with pictures and images. It looks like it was written by a crazy person in jail. First of all, you can only recycle the following: paper and flattened cardboard, plastic bottles and food containers, as long as they have a 1, 2, or a 5 on them. If they have a 3 or a 4, you can't recycle it. So you got to wash it out and look at the bottom on the little recycling thing and then say, is it a 1, a 2, or a 5? If not, you got to toss it. Metal cans only, glass bottles and jars, and cartons are okay. All right? Do not recycle the following: any plastic with a 3, 4, 6, or 7 on it. Don't recycle it. Can't recycle it.
Uh-oh.
No hangers, even though they're plastic. No hardback books, even though they're paper. No food soiled or frozen food boxes. Why? What? My pizza box. No foil items, no bulbs, cookware, or window glass. No motor oil, batteries, or hazardous items. No styrofoam. No plastic bags or wrap. No needles. Who the hell's recycling syringe needles? You can sell those on the streets.
No, yeah.
There's a market for them in Kensington.
Yeah.
No plant pots. Right, you can repurpose them. Give them out to a nice heroin user near you. No plant pots, trays, lids, or cups. No shredded paper. Don't bag recyclables. Do not put in Amazon's plastic mailers. And you must set this out by 6 a.m. And they're telling you now, they will begin inspections of your recycling bin to ensure that you don't have any any foreign containments. Yes.
What do you get a fine? What happens?
I don't know. You know what I think you should do? Just throw all of it the freaking out. Because how much are we actually helping Mother Earth here if there are all these things made of plastic, but you can only recycle the ones with 1, 2, 4, 1, 2, and 5? 3, 4, 6, and 7 has to get thrown out.
Yep.
Also, egg containers. Like you go, Eggland's Best, can't recycle those. Now, right. Paper ones you can, but not the plastic egg containers. Those get thrown away. Can't do this, can't do that. If anything touches it, food, can't do that. It's a scam, Dawn. It's all a scam, is what it is.
Well, it sounds more Philadelphia, it's like paper, and they burn it in Chester.
Good. I want to burn all this. That's what they should do. So, and now I got to have government agents coming and looking inside my recycling bin. I'm telling you right now, one of you people comes on my private property and looks in my recycling bin, we're going to have a real problem. I got a Fourth Amendment protection that includes my recycling bin. It's your property? Then take it back. I don't even want it. If that's what the argument is, they go, well, it's ours. I don't want it. Take it. Leave me be, and I'll throw it all out. Yes, Greg.
Do you know where the recycling goes? Like, we sell it to India, and India picks through and what they can resell, and whatever they can't resell, it goes right into the ocean. So, we're doing nothing for it anyway.
And we're actually making it worse.
We're making it worse.
Because instead of just burning it here, we're sending it to India, which costs amazing amounts of carbon footprint. And then they don't care in India. They don't have the kooks there. They just dump it all in the ocean. What do they care? They don't have the environmental whack jobs out there.
Take this and throw it away.
Yeah, just throw it away. It's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Don is in Bordentown. Yes, Don, good morning.
Morning. Hey, I work for one of the big recycling giants. I have been for the last 15 years. And the scams that go on out there are just absolutely crazy. And the bad thing is, these little recycling scams, like everybody wants to save their bottle caps and save their straws, that's a bunch of baloney. It is. Because when you go to these mammoth recycling centers, there's a whole bunch of sorting and screening and stuff like that. On the bottom of all the screening, it's like a 2-inch screen. So all the bottle caps that people save, they get bounced out and they go to landfill. That's just reality. Same thing with the straws. The straws just go through the screen, it's a 2-inch screen, and they fall out. And they go, and there again, the straws will go to the trash thing.
Yeah,
and it's crazy because here's the thing is the recycling industry is doing some good stuff, and we'll make boiler fuel out of the plastic, and we want the plastic, all this 2, 3, and 4, I don't even know the different numbers, but we will take that type of material, and other people will take that type of material and they'll shred it up and they'll make it into a fuel, and that's reality. That's
great.
The good part of recycling.
That's great.
But the bad part is you got all these do-gooders saying, oh, we got to do your straws. And the amount of work and money that it costs to sort out some of the stuff is crazy. It's crazy. The other thing is, quick thing on the Asian countries. All the Asian countries right now, they're sending containers back. They're opening up the containers at the ports. You know, X percent of containers get inspected. And if they find that you're sending containers that have pizza boxes with, you know, gloppy cheese on and stuff like that, they take those containers, and believe it or not, they set like a 10% goal. They'll send 10% of the containers back to the U.S. saying, hey, we don't want your trash anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And
Don, I want to ask a question. The boats that bring the recycling to India, are they powered by hydropower?
There's probably like solar things on top of the ship or something.
What is the amount of fuel burned to bring this stuff to India?
I'm sure it's wind.
Is it wind powered?
Sailboats. And then the burning of the stuff in at the different burn plants and whatnot, there's value in that. But then again, it gets a bad reputation that they don't get any credit for burning the material because there's a lot of ash and some other stuff at the end.
Right.
And that can go to landfill because we operate very nice landfills that are safe.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing, and I'm telling you right now, in the future, the robots that go into the landfills and eat all the stuff we were never supposed to throw away, I want them to have a head start by finding the old stereos and the batteries, Rick, and everything else, because they need
Rick,
to eat.
We will invite you to go tour the landfill.
I don't want to tour a landfill. I have no interest in touring a landfill. Don, I got two kids at home. I got a job. I'm the morning drive host. I barely sleep. Can I not tour a landfill, please?
Plus, you get everybody sick.
Right.
We even have remote-controlled bulldozers now. You can stay in the office and play with the bulldozer remote control.
That's kind of cool, actually. All right. Well, now you piqued my interest. All right, Don. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the call. Very good. Excellent. Mom is the only. Rich, You challenge them to come to your house. Be quiet. She thinks that like they're going to send in the recycling Gestapo to my house.
She's afraid.
It's all right, Mama Zioli. It's all right.
Men in gloves.
It's all right. Men in gloves.
Searching through.
Searching through. Oh, man. That's great. I got invited to a landfill. My day is set, baby. My day is made. Also, we were discussing, too, the notion of this New Jersey gas tax didn't work, Pennsylvania's gas tax didn't work. There's a lot of, I don't know if you noticed or not, but there's still a lot of potholes out there, a lot of potholes. And in Philadelphia in particular, it seems to be getting worse, does it not?
They seem to be working on it all the time.
All the time. All the time. Every 5 minutes, they're working on a pothole. So I'm predicting this. Someone is going to stand up and blame it on climate change. Someone is going to blame it on climate change. So
because the weather goes from hot to cold and, you know, water and then not water. And then that's what's expanding the roads. And
yes.
You're right.
Here's the thing. I live in Philadelphia. When I drive like, you know, 2 blocks to Montgomery County, how is it that Berks, Montgomery, like they don't have the pothole problem we have?
Yeah, right.
But it's the, like asphalt roads. So how is one road constantly having potholes and the other ones are beautiful? Same thing with snow removal.
Well, good news. A lot of cities now are going to make their cities more beautiful by allowing homeless people to camp on city streets. I opened the show with this today. Austin, Texas, now allowing urban camping. So if you and your family want a nice adventure, load up the tent and put it right on a city street and go camping. Because they now allow cities like Austin and others, you can camp on the street for the homeless people.
Oh my God.
So they won't allow the police to come in and take down the tents. That is beyond kooky and crazy. I'd rather camp at a landfill. I'd actually rather do that. That's what I'd rather do.
I don't blame you.
They do it though in Philadelphia, unless the Pope comes.
Right, then they get everybody away. Although if the Pope comes, they scare everybody away. Where's all the people, eh? And nobody came. I don't understand, eh? What did I do?
Favorite bit.
I gotta. There's nobody here. They said everybody was a coming, but nobody's a here. But I mentioned earlier Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she spoke about the Emoluments Clause to the Constitution. Remember this audio? I think she was doing a radio interview, I believe, discussing all the ways Trump could still be impeached.
It was the podcast with Michael Isikoff.
Yes, Michael Isikoff's podcast. Make sure you subscribe
no,
to that.
Don't.
Congresswoman Tlaib, she's introduced a resolution to impeach. Mm-hmm. Have you signed on? Are you signing on?
We hadn't signed on when it was first introduced, but we probably will. You know, we'll take a look into it.
You think you will?
Yeah. There's just so many things.
Well, what would be your top three if you were drafting the articles of impeachment
the
for the
three.
President? What would be Article 1, 2, and 3?
Well, I think number one is emoluments. I think it's always been emoluments. I think it's always been about that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now two spell and three? Emoluments.
Two and three. I think two would be tax fraud. And number three.
Not recycling? Not putting pizza boxes in the recycling.
I mean, number three, if there's an investigation
putting
on this.
A recycling bin with five on it.
Interesting that you don't mention Russia in the top.
So emoluments was her number one. Emoluments. The Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Yesterday, a court threw this out, this dumb lawsuit against the president, alleging he had violated the Emoluments Clause. Now, as you know, I love the Constitution. As you know, I try to consider myself to be a student of it as much as I possibly can. I'm no Mark Levin, but Mark has taught me a lot, obviously, which is why whenever he asks me to fill in for him, it's always such an honor. Excuse me. The Foreign Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution. Let's see if Trump's violating this, shall we? No person holding any office of profit or trust under the United States shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present emolument, office, or title of any kind, whatever, from any king, prince, or foreign state. All right? That's the Emolument Clause. Why do we have it? Well, each of the Emoluments Clauses has a distinct but related purpose, the purpose of the Foreign Emoluments Clause, according to the Congressional Research Service, is to limit foreign influence on federal officers. The clause grew out of the framers' experience with the European custom of gift-giving to foreign diplomats, which the newly independent republic prohibited in the Articles of Confederation. Following that precedent, the Foreign Emoluments Clause prohibits federal officers from accepting foreign emoluments without congressional consent. All right. Now, let me ask you a question. If the president accepts the title of Duke of Earl, would that be a violation of the Emoluments Clause? Yes, because he's not allowed to accept titles of nobility. If the president, say, is a baker and sells cupcakes, and foreigners come and buy his cupcakes, or his cupcakes are sold overseas, is that a violation of the Emoluments Clause? Let's pretend the president is the guy who's, let's pretend the president is, I don't know, pick Mr. Tasty Cake is president of the United States. Mr. Tasty Cake is president. Tasty Cake is sold around the world because it's delicious. It's wonderful and delicious. Or Mr. Yingling. Perhaps Dick Yingling is president. Yingling beer is great. Everybody loves Yingling, right? If foreigners buy his beer and he's president, has he violated the Emoluments Clause? What do you think? Based on what the framers were worried about. Anyone? Does he have to stop selling Yingling? Do we have to take Yingling off the market if Dick Yingling becomes president? Which, by the way, Dick would make a great president. Let me go on the record and say, do we have to then take Yingling? No sales of Yingling. Foreigners might buy it and therefore influence your decisions as president. Because all this comes down to is the Trump Hotel, and foreigners stay there. And the president is so desperate to sell out his hotel in D.C. that he's willing to make a deal. We'll give you a package, bed and breakfast combination, and I'll do whatever the hell you want. Just stay at the hotel. It's a great weekend. Weekends only, by the way. Weekends only. Free parking, bed and breakfast, and presidential influence. $299 on hotels.com. You can get it. But I believe only one room left.
Yeah.
And your bed choice will be selected at check-in. They're not going to, you can't choose your own bed choice. That's the only downside of it.
Going fast.
That's what the lawsuit alleged from the states of Maryland and Virginia and the District of Columbia. They alleged here now that the president of the United States, by having a hotel with his name on it and foreign people staying at that hotel, was violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, because obviously people are staying at the hotel to get his influence. And obviously he's going to do whatever they want because he's so desperate as a billionaire to fill those beds at one of the most highly prestigious hotels in the country, the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., which if you want to go, you can go and watch all of the people that you hear talked about having cocktails and dinner, because everybody who's anybody goes there all the time and they have dinner there and people stay there. That was literally the lawsuit. And again, that was her first thing, emoluments. Her first thing, emoluments. And her basis was his hotel. And golf courses. People golf. People golf at Trump Golf Course, and therefore he's going to go. They're going to call him up and go, Mr. President, we have this foursome here today. They pretty high rollers. They brought lunch and drinks. They would like you to invade Iran. Look, anything for my foursomes, all right? I can't lose the golf. I can't lose the membership at Trump National Pine Hill. So that's what happened. That's the theory. How dumb. See, the problem is this. We've never actually had a person who's not a politician be president. The only army businessman. So he's got his name on lots of things. The theory that people buy things with his name on it, therefore they have influence over him, is so beyond stupid. But let's pretend for a second that that's what the founders were worried about. They were so worried that one of the guys was going to, because they all had jobs back then. They actually worked for livings. Many of them were farmers. That really what it's about is they were so worried one of those farmers was going to be able to sell lots and lots of real farmers, not fake farmers like Springsteen. Yes. The founders were real farmers. Adams had a farm. Let's say John Adams. They were really worried John Adams was going to sell his crops to foreigners. And then he was going to do, I don't know, invade France or something because the Brits would buy lots and lots of his wheat. That's why the Emoluments Clause is there. How dumb do people think we are? Anyway, like I said, if the president of the United States accepts the title of Duke of Earl without Congress's consent, or Prince Trump or anything like that, he now has violated the Emoluments Clause, okay? And so at that point then, yes, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one more time, Greg, please, would be correct in her emoluments, he's definitely about the Emoluments Clause.
You think you will?
Yeah. There's just so many things.
Well, what would be your top three? If you were drafting the articles of impeachment for the president, what would be Article 1, 2, and 3?
Well, I think number one is emoluments. I think it's always been emoluments. I think it's always been about that for me.
Mm-hmm. Two and three?
Two and three.
I got nothing. I got. All right. Very good. Thank you. 855-839-1210. This is the Yoli Show. Glad you're here today.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.